the extraordinary qualities of Sri Rupa Goswami. Although he was so great, he thought himself so small. This is the natural quality of a Vaishnava. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri assembled all the senior most devotees together just to show them all the exalted qualities of Rupa Goswami, his realizations, his personal characteristics, and all of them were overwhelmed. Rupa Goswami was falling at every one of their feet, begging for mercy and blessings. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed all the devotees to bless him. And Lord Chaitanya himself was showering such glorification upon Rupa Goswami. And hearing that, the devotees became joyous. And in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada very strongly explains what is a real Vaishnav. A real Vaishnav is one who is without envy. One who rejoices to see others' good fortune. When one sees, a Vaishnav sees someone else getting special mercy of the Lord, special attention of the Lord, special empowerment of the Lord, special success brought about by the Lord's grace, a devotee becomes extraordinarily happy to see this. Whereas a materialistic person becomes envious. Why not me? And Srila Prabhupada very strongly tells us, you know, what is the standard? And then we must examine our hearts. Are we really Vaishnavas? In the loosest possible sense, a Vaishnava is one who believes in the personal form of God. But according to the standard of Lord Chaitanya, a Vaishnava is one who rejoices in seeing others' good fortune. And Srila Prabhupada explains, when you appreciate someone else doing good, someone else succeeding in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is so pleased with that sentiment. The person who's succeeding may be proud and arrogant. He may not be making much advancement at all. But if you appreciate that person's success, you'll make tremendous spiritual progress. In this sense, can I give you the story, a particular story, in regard to the subject of what are the symptoms of a true Vaishnava? Okay, now take your mind back over 800 years to Sri Rangam on the bank of the Kaveri River in South India. When Sripad Ramanujacharya saw the disappearance of his most dear disciple, Kuresh. Actually, let me give you a little background. The story of Koresh is a beautiful narration of total self-surrender and sacrifice. As he was passing from this world, he told his two sons one instruction: never become proud. You're learned scholars. You have unlimited mercy of Ramanujacharya. People all around consider you the child of Lord Ranganath directly. Never become proud, because false pride destroys the possibility of pleasing Krishna. That little Parasarabhatar, when he was only 5 years old, this is what a scholar he was. The world champion Digvijay, who defeated everyone in all directions in debate, came to Sri Rangam. And he was riding on a golden palanquin. There were elephants and horses decorated with all sorts of elegant ornaments. And there was people playing bands, shanais, mardangas, Brahmins. Hundreds of Brahmins would go on his entourage chanting mantras just to announce his arrival. And everyone stood at the sides with folded hands. His name was Sarvagya, and he was known to be someone who knows everything about everything. And this little five-year-old boy ran up to him with a handful of sand and said, "Your name is Sarvagya? That means you know everything? Well, if you know everything, tell me how many grains of sand are in my hand." And this very elderly, powerful scholar could not say a word. He came off of his palanquin, he bowed down to the five-year-old child and said, "You have defeated me. I accept you as my guru." So Parasarabhatar became the Acharya by Ramanujacharya's own will. After Koresh departed from the world, Ramanujacharya took little Parasara, put him on the Vyasasan, put a garland on him, embraced him, offered worship to him, and installed him as the Acharya. Many years later, one devotee approached Parasarabhatar with this question: what are the symptoms of a true Vaishnava? Parasara said, "You should go to Tirupati, to the top of the mountain, where there's a great disciple of Ramanuja. His name is Ananta Acharya. Ask him this question, and he will give you the fully realized answer." Now, in those days, going from Sri Rangam to Tirupati, it wasn't that you just get on a train or take a plane or a bus. You have to walk. It's hundreds and hundreds of kilometers. So he walked all the way, and then he went all up those seven mountains to the top of the hill. And finally, after weeks of travel, he fell at the lotus feet of Anantacharya. And with folded palms, he said, "Parasarabhatar has sent me all the way from Rangakshetra to ask you a question. What are the symptoms of a true Vaishnava?" Anantacharya did not say a single word. He didn't even look at him. He walked away. Now this devotee was thinking, "I'm not qualified to hear. I should just stay here and follow the practice of surrender and patience and just serve. And then, at the proper time, he will give me the answer." So he was absolutely obedient, doing every type of menial servant, not only to Anantacharya, but to every devotee who was there. 6 months passed, and Anantacharya did not say a word to him. And then Anantacharya was having a big feast. Wonderful, wonderful prasad. Thousands of people were coming. It was an utsav. This devotee sat down, eager for prasad, as all of you probably are just now. But it won't be long. Anantacharya walks up to him, said, "You, get up and serve. You can eat in the next round." So the devotee got up and served. Everyone, he was serving. And after serving everyone got up, he sat down for prasad. Anantacharya saw him, said, "Serve the next round. You can take next time." He served the next round of devotees, the servers. He sat down to eat. He said, "There's still some more people that haven't been served, the servants of the servants. Serve them." And then the next round, serve the servants of the servants of the servants, until every single person was full with prasad. And there was nobody left. Then when he was just about to sit down to take prasad, it was already late at night. Anantacharya said, "If I remember, about 6 months ago, you wanted to ask me a question. What is your question?" He said, "Can you please tell me, what are the symptoms of a true Vaishnava?" Anantacharya replied, "A Vaishnav is like a crane. A Vaishnav is like a cock. A Vaishnav is like salt. And a Vaishnav is like you." And then Anantacharya walked away. Hare Krishna. So this devotee was thinking, "I surrendered my whole life for 6 months for that?" It made no sense to him. A crane, a cock, salt, and me? So he left Tirupati, walked all the way down the seven mountains, crossed the plains, back to Sridangam, and fell at the feet of his guru, Parasarabhata. Parasara said, "Oh, did you ask Anantacharya the question?" He said, "Yes, I did. He wouldn't talk to me for 6 months. He made me serve." Because unless you really serve and have a proper service attitude, you can't understand anyway. Tadvedi pranipatena pariprasnena seva. This is how knowledge is given. It's not only approaching a self-realized soul or a great devotee, but we have to submit. We have to have a sincere and genuine service attitude in order to assimilate that knowledge. Something like this. You could have very, very nutritious food. But if you have no power to digest it, how much nutrients do you get from it? It is minimal. The greater our power to digest, the more we actually, whatever we hear, it goes into our heart, not just our brain. Some people it goes in one ear and out the other. Some people doesn't even get that far. Just kind of doesn't even get through the first year. And other people, it is just absorbed by the brain, and we memorize it, but it doesn't touch our heart. The heart is where realization takes place. The intelligence is necessary to grasp the right concept. But for realization, on the path of bhakti, there must be a very sincere and genuine service attitude. I'm going to take a little diversion. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada writes in one beautiful purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the test that one is chanting Hare Krishna sincerely is that one has a sincere enthusiasm to render service. And in another purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he said, unless one is meek and humble, even if one chants the holy name of Krishna according to prescribed rounds and like that, birth after birth after birth, one will not attain realization. One cannot understand love of Krishna. We can chant birth after birth after birth. We'll make some progress, no doubt. But unless we're meek and humble, the holy name will not reveal the love of God that is within our heart. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told us to take that verse, Trinadapi Suniche na Taror Iba Sehishnuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari, and put it on the string of the holy name and wear it over our hearts. Always. So yes, this devotee, 6 months, just did menial service before Anantacharya spoke a single word to him. And now he's telling Parasabhata, I did it. He gave me the answer, and then he left. There was no purport. I'm bewildered. Parasarabhata said, well, what did he say? He said, it's really confusing what he said. Well, what did he say? He said, a Vaishnav is like a crane, like a cock, like salt, like me. Parasarabhata said, oh, perfect answer, perfect answer. He said, well, what does it mean? He said, I will explain. What a beautiful answer. What are the qualities of a crane? A crane is a bird whose feathers are pure, spotless white. In the same way, a Vaishnava's heart is pure. That means no duplicity. No selfish, separate interests. No false pride. A Vaishnava's heart is only for the pleasure of Krishna. And another quality of a crane is a crane stands on one leg and just looks down into the water. And so many little fish are passing by, and the crane just lets them pass, pays no attention. But as soon as a big fish passes, he feasts on it. Hare Krishna. Now that doesn't mean Vaishnavas eat fish. It's an analogy. It means that a real Vaishnav does not take any interest in the talk of mundane people. What the world is talking about with all its magazines and with all its television stations, with all its cinemas and with all of its recordings and speeches and everybody talking so much gossip. Even if you're wearing Kanti Mala and have shaved head or nice sari, and even if you have a nice red dot between your forehead, or if you dance nicely in kirtan, if you're gossiping, prajalpa. It's mundane. Srila Prabhupada talks about prajalpa. He said, when you speak prajalpa, what actually happens when you gossip about other people? When you criticize others? What's taking place is the credits of your devotion are just draining out from your mouth and being lost. Hare Krishna. We work so hard for so many years to do so many nice things. We gossip. We lose the credits. Somewhere deep inside, it's there, but we lose the consciousness. We lose the direct connection to those credits. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, what is a Vaishnav? One who has no tendency to criticize or find faults in others. That is a Vaishnav. So a crane lets all the little fish by, but feasts on the big fish. As a Vaishnav does not give attention to speaking or hearing what common people are talking. Gramya katana shunibe, gramya varatana kohibe, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami. This is Vaishnav. Not to speak like the people in general and not to hear what they say. But a devotee is always eager and anxious and focused on feasting on the words of the Mahatmas, the great souls. Dharma shvanushtata pungshang vishvakshena katashriyat notpadiyet yatidatim srameva hikevalam. Srimad Bhagavatam states, whatever our occupation may be, it is successful to the extent that it brings us to the state of consciousness where we are eager to hear the message of Krishna. And you want to know what the quality of a cock is? A cock is a rooster. And roosters will go to the dustbin where people put all their rubbish. And will sift through it. And if he finds one nutritious seed, he'll just focus all his attention on that seed and not only eat it, but collect them and distribute them to the other little chickens. Hare Krishna. So similarly, a devotee is not concerned with the external superficialities of anything, but it's always looking for the essence. Srila Prabhupada says that Vaishnava is Saragrahi, one who is always searching for the essence. What is the essence? What pleases Krishna is the essence. And what pleases Krishna? Devotion, love. We see in today's world, in the name of religion, so much conflict, terrorism, hatred, envy, judgmentalism. And the amazing thing is there's as much of this in so-called religious affiliations as there is amongst the atheists, isn't there? Most of the terrorists are not atheists. They have very strong religious beliefs. And when we go to, what is it, University of Florida? It's usually not the atheists that say, you're going to hell forever. Yes? It's not the atheists that are, during our Rath Yatras, walking around with big placards saying, burn in hell, beware of false prophets. Yes? Hari Hari. And even amongst devotees, Sometimes the most difficult people to deal with are devotees. When people become very judgmental, based on all external, superficial considerations. But what is the essence? Srila Prabhupada said, any religion that teaches a person to love God, we accept. In the Bible, Jesus said, what is the use if you gain the whole world but you lose your eternal soul? The essence is bhakti. The essence is getting attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and developing a genuine, humble service attitude. The essence is developing the characteristics of a Vaishnava. Not just arguing and judging one another based on all kinds of superficial conditions. This is your guru, this is my guru. Prabhupada wants us to be united. So just like that cock is always looking for that essence, always searching to develop those qualities of love of God through unconditional, uninterrupted service, through chanting Harinam. And a devotee is like salt. This is the best part. How many of you would like to be like salt? The special quality of salt is it is the element that gives flavor to food but remains completely hidden. Now tell me, the last time you took a nice feast and your favorite preparation, sabji or samosa or whatever it is, you said, wow, the salt in here is incredible. Have you ever done that? You will say, oh, the spicing is so nice, and you're talking about the chilies are so perfectly balanced with the cumins and the asafoetida and the coriander. Oh, so nice spices. And the ghee is so flavorful. And the grain's so nice. But what actually gives it the flavor is the salt. Nobody glorifies salt. Most underrated. But if you put salt in something that's supposed to be sugar, then everyone blames the salt. Just like, I remember one time, this was in the early 70s. We heard news that in Los Angeles, somebody put salt in the Charanamrita. And Prabhupada was angry. Were you there? But you heard. They put Dinabandhu, he's everywhere. Dinabandhu, Prabhupada. Well, the way ISKCON was in those days is that person became like the black, like the villain of our society. The great aparati that puts salt in Prabhupada's Charanamrita. And I don't know what happened to that person in Los Angeles, but I do know, I'm not going to say the name, although I'm really tempted to do so. But that person came to New Vrindavan, and her ill fame came way before her. Nobody in the community would even look at her or even talk to her because she put salt in Prabhupada's Charanamrita. Hare Krishna. So salt, when it's used properly, gives flavor to a preparation, but expects no credit That is the quality of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is willing to do everything and anything, but never is willing to take credit for anything. One sadhu once told me, if you do something great, and then you talk about what you've done, and if there's ego in what you're in your heart when you're talking about what you've done, then so many of the credits of what you've done are being drained out by your taking credit for it. Krishna says in Gita, I am the ability in man. I am the strength of the strong. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Srila Prabhupada was such a perfect Vaishnava. He did what no one else in history had ever done. He took the highest principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, which culminates in the love of Radha and Krishna in Sri Vrindavan Dham. According to the teachings of Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spread Krishna consciousness with the siddhanta that elevates one to Goloka Vrindavan all over the world. And he did it initially with no help at all. When he was living in New York City, just 8 days ago, I was with Janaki Devi Prabhu, the first disciple of Srila Prabhupada. In the first initiation ceremony, she was the only lady to get initiated. She's the first female disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And she was explaining how she first met Prabhupada. Her husband, who was then, not even husband, her boyfriend, now he's Mukunda Swami Maharaj. Then he was another name. He said, there's a Swami, let's go see him. So he's living in the Bowery. She said, she was going up these steps. She said, the Bowery was such a ghetto that the stairway was dark, even in the daytime. And it had this really musty smell of mold. And they went up and up and up, several stories of steps till they got to the top floor. And then they went into this apartment. There was no furniture. It was really drab. It was really dilapidated. And there was about three or four people sitting on the floor, and in the middle of them was Srila Prabhupada. And there was one light bulb hanging from the ceiling on a piece of wire. And he was leading kirtan and preaching Bhagavad Gita. And people were sprawled out. Some of them were sleeping. But Prabhupada was ecstatic. He wrote back to his godbrothers in India, we have a center in America. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission is fulfilling, it's blossoming. Just see, here in the Bowery of New York City, Manhattan Island, we have a center. I have a nice boy. He's interested in Krishna consciousness, and he's giving us his flat. We can install Radha Krishna deities here. I can send this boy. You can train him up in all of Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhanta and Vaishnav culture. And you could send men here. And we can be preaching. We have a base in New York City. There's a couple people sleeping on the floor. Prabhupada was just so hopeful. He was so positive. He saw every little thing as a sign from Krishna. He was like a cock. He was looking for the essence. Prabhupada was like a cock because he looked for the essence in every one of us. I'll get back to the salt. I'm going to the cock again. Here people were coming in to the Bowery, or a little later, 22nd Avenue, and people zonked out on drugs, with meat in their belly, on their way to have sex with a man or a woman. Yes? Prabhupada just saw, if he saw a little tiny spark of inclination in someone's heart, he just focused on that. This person likes prasad. Prabhupada saw that as being something so glorious. He would give that person his life, his soul, his everything. Why? Because he likes prasad. What to speak? In his diary, he said, I played a reel-to-reel tape of himself chanting Hare Krishna, and like seven people came to this program. And he said, they liked the chanting. Now I understand that Haridas Thakur's prediction will come true, that the whole world, every town and village will be chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. He was just looking for the essence in everyone and fanning that spark and making it blaze. And that when it started to blaze, it created a fire that burned to ashes everything else, all the anartas, all the misconceptions, and all the sinful inclinations. So back to the Bowery. A couple days later, that person took LSD, became crazy, and threatened to murder Prabhupada. Attacked him physically. Prabhupada had to leave immediately. He had nowhere to go. This is the things he did. And then he started this movement. Prabhupada said he had to shed buckets of blood to make every devotee. Now, why did he say that? To tell us how important every devotee was. To take care of them, to inspire them, to protect them. And then when the movement went international, and soon the largest publication of Vedic literatures in the world's history, the most Bhagavad Gita's ever distributed in the most languages, 100 temples, thousands of disciples. Every airport he would go to would be filled with devotees. And the devotees were so enthusiastic. I once went to a city and people were saying, there's devotees all over the place, everywhere we go. There's thousands of devotees in this city. And I went to the temple and I found out there was like 8 devotees. But those 8 devotees were everywhere. So everyone in the city thought there must be thousands of devotees because wherever we go, we see them. That was the enthusiasm. But Srila Prabhupada never ever took credit. In his lectures, in his own Vyas Pujas, he said, all credit goes to my Guru Maharaj. I am simply his postal peon. That was Prabhupada. On Jaladutta, he prayed to Krishna, just let me be your puppet. I have no power to give Krishna to anyone. But you can give me the words to impress their hearts and awaken bhakti. Just let me be your dancing puppet. And that was Prabhupada's mood throughout. He was just his guru and Krishna's puppet. And he also gave all credit to his disciples. All of you have helped me so much. I am so indebted to you. You have assisted me in the service of my Guru Maharaj. All credit goes to you. On many occasions, he would say, like salt. Salt is willing to do it all, but remain hidden. and give all credit, give all glory to everyone else. And another quality of salt is the salt merges into the preparation and becomes invisible. So in the same way, a devotee is willing to sacrifice his or her own preferences or identities in so many ways just to give pleasure to the Vaishnavas and to serve others. The real bliss of Krishna consciousness is not what we can take, but it is what we can give. Because bhakti is about selfless service. And whether we're on that platform or not, we should be striving for that. We should be praying for that. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes the quality of gopis. They have absolutely not the slightest trace of desire for their own enjoyment. Their everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. And therefore, they access the full love of Krishna. To the degree we want to be happy with our selfish interests, we're bound by our own karmas and by our own mental conceptions. But to the degree we want to be enjoyed through the spirit of service, there is real happiness, real freedom. Yes, Parasara said, a Vaishnava is like salt. And a Vaishnava is also like you. Because you served everyone, and then you served the next round of devotees, and you served the next round of the devotees, and you served every round of devotees until nobody else was left, and then you took prasad. This is the quality of a real Vaishnava. That our happiness is in making others happy by giving them Krishna's mercy. So this devotee understood everything. And it's a good lesson, I think, for all of us to understand. Because being Krishna conscious, this is really about developing the symptoms of true Vaishnavas. Whatever we're doing, whatever we're identifying ourselves with, we're actually making progress to the extent we are developing the true qualities of Vaishnavas. Humble like the grass, tolerant like tree, ready to offer all respect to others, expect none in return. That is Vaishnava. I'd like to tell you one more story. Sometimes difficult situations are such good impetuses to help us in that way. Jai Keshav Prabhu is here. Anyways, when we were in Los Angeles together, he took me to a special park. And there was a lotus garden in this park. Beautiful lotus flowers. Actual lotus flowers, not lilies. There was like probably 40 or 50 fully blown lotuses. And then we wanted to take a walk and chant. We went up this mountain. Quite a steep mountain. And we were getting pretty tired, but we kept climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing, and finally we came to a plateau where there was a big sign that said, "Congratulations." And it said that you are healthier now because you climbed this mountain. And it explained how there was a, how when you strain your heart becomes healthy. And when your heart is healthy, your whole body is healthy. And then it had a whole chart. According to your weight, you should at least 3 times a week exercise to get your heart to a certain rate. Now, to get your heart to that rate, you have to work. In this case, you have to really go uphill. So I was thinking, that's the way Krishna consciousness is. Krishna consciousness is about making the heart healthy, purifying the heart. And when there is resistance, when there is difficulty, when there is uphill times in our bhakti, but we continue on with determination, with patience, we make great spiritual progress. Tathenu kampam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipaga. Even when difficult times come, a devotee with folded hands says, "Thank you, Krishna, I deserve worse," and carries on with their devotional service. So whether we're devotees or not devotees, impediments must come in our lives. When I was in Santa Barbara with Giriraj Swami, he brought me to this chiropractor's office to meet him. And there was a big sign. And I really liked this. There was this essay. I have it, actually. I took it. With their permission. They made a copy for me. It's called "The Penalty of Leadership." And it talks about anyone who does anything good is going to be condemned and criticized. That's the way the world is. And this is not written by the Hare Krishna movement. It says, if you do things mediocre, or if you do things just not very well at all, don't worry about it. Nobody's going to say a word to you. But if you do something that's substantial, successful in any field, then people will become envious of you. They will condemn you. They will try to destroy you. That is the way the world is. And it gave so many examples. So there will always be impediments. Impediments of our own mind, impediments of other living beings, impediments of our health, impediments of too much heat in the summer of Alachua, or too much cold in Appalachian hills of West Virginia. But all of these obstacles, whatever they may be, are all specially designed to help us to make our hearts strong in Krishna consciousness. We just have to go on chanting Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it really easy in Chaitanya Bhagavat. He raised his arms and yelled loudly to all the world to hear, do 2 things. Chant Hare Krishna, do not criticize others, I will deliver you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So please, here in New Ramanreti, such a wonderful community, I'm just amazed at the devotees' enthusiasm to hear and chant, to participate in programs. My humble request is, please take care of each other. Vaishnavism is about being the servant of the servant of the servant. We have to care for the needs of the fellow Vaishnavas with great attention. We should be searching for the opportunity to help someone. If a Vaishnava is in need, we should just consider, Krishna is blessing us by giving us the chance to extend ourselves to serve. Try to really create this culture, and then who would ever want to leave the Krishna consciousness movement? The most wonderful philosophy, the most wonderful food, the most wonderful, beautiful deities, the most wonderful everything. But if we don't take care of each other, if we don't develop love and trust, if we don't serve each other, most people will not be able to recognize any of the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So this is all important. What is Chaitanya Charitamrita? It's the story of devotees who serve each other with love, and their focus is the chanting of the holy names and always remembering Krishna's teachings and Krishna's pastimes. So if we just extend ourselves in this way, Nuraman Reti will just grow and grow and grow, not only in quantity but in quality. And you have such a potential to attract the world to this community if you just create Vaishnav culture and everyone is really, really sincerely trying to develop the symptoms of a true Vaishnav. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Should we end, or should we do something? Should we have kirtan? Those who would like to take prasad, please take prasad. And those who would like to have kirtan, please stay for kirtan. Vishwambar Prabhu will play mridanga.
You allow me?
Yes, I beg you.